There's some fun examples of going beyond other dimensions here. This is just a real quick series of examples of how in nature, in the case of our solar system, if you go to my website, which is geometrycode.com, I've got on the gallery page some examples of these. And these are all inspired by John Martineau's brilliant little book called Little Book of Coincidence, which some of you probably are familiar with. And these show some really beautiful models of, and his little line art sketches, and I took those and made some 3D images out of them, showing how our planets basically fit into simple geometric models. Now, Kepler was on the right track. He was so close. If he was around today, he would have gone gaga knowing how close he got. He's got the Platonic solids here, and he's got nested spheres, really on the right track. But they weren't very accurate. I mean, if you do the math, it's not very accurate. But John Martineau, with several other colleagues in Europe and elsewhere, I believe, compiled this wonderful list of models of the solar system. So here's an example of the relationship of Mercury through Earth orbits. And this is Mercury through Mars orbits and Mercury through Uranus orbits. And I'm going to just, these are kind of complex. I'm going to just break them down here real quick and get another artistic view of that, if you will. And so here's an example of if you take an equilateral triangle and a circle around it and then three circles, and then a circle wrapping around that, you have the orbit of Mercury and the orbit of Venus. About 99.9% accurate if you do the math. It's really accurate. And if I was a grade school teacher and I wanted to instill to some kids the idea of how far apart are the planets, wouldn't this be perfect? I just think these are really wonderful models he's come up with. So here's a little more like an artistic, if you will, rendition of it with Pavre. And same idea with another simple example of a square. You know, what could be more simple than a square? And a circle that fits inside the four circles that fit on the vertices and touch each other. And then you have a circle wrapping around the square is the orbit of Jupiter. The circle within is the orbit of Mars. Pavre model with that. And here's one, the Earth and Venus dance, where you have the 5 and the 8 relationship, both spatially and temporally, which is kind of cool. So here's one that shows the Earth and Venus orbits relationship with the octagonal model, with the inner circle and the outer circle defining the two orbits. This one actually shows the perigee-apogee relationship, or basically how close and how far away Earth and Venus are in their dance from each other, by the innermost sphere representing the closest point, and then the outermost sphere wrapping around the outer pentagram representing the outer distance. And then, of course, there's the 5-8 temporal relationship in terms of the orbital timing. Here's the Earth-Mars orbits, a different model. This one's kind of cool. The hexagram model of the Earth and Jupiter orbits shows, again, within about 99.9 plus percent accuracy, the relationship between the Earth orbit and the Jupiter orbit is the outer circle there. But if you were to put Jupiter at one point of the outermost hexagram, there are two asteroid clusters, and you can see that in John's book, which I didn't know until I read it, that perfectly track at plus or minus 60 degrees as you're going around. Is that cool or what? And here's actually three orbits. This is Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus. The outer two pair is really the simplest yet. I mean, you've got an equilateral triangle and two circles. Not too tricky, right? These are actually some of the derivative images from his book. There's a few that are actually three-dimensional, even though I made them all look three-dimensional with the Pavre models. So this is showing the icosahedral relationship between Earth and Mars orbits. And then this is the dodecahedral relationship between Venus and Mars. I like that one. And they're all about 99.9% accuracy. So again, the macrocosm and the microcosm are all, just like everything else, trying to get our attention that there's this interconnectedness, this interrelationship, this sense of oneness that we're trying to wake up to out of the dream, ultimately. This one was too new to be in John's book. I got to meet him 3 summers ago when he came out to California and I was living there. He said, oh, I got this new model. He says, if you take a tetrahedron and chop off the corners and make a truncated tetrahedron, those two define the Neptune-Uranus orbit. So I immediately had to go back to Pavre and make this little graphic rather. Another examples of ways that mirrors, again, are a metaphor for our life, that everything around us mirrors our inner awareness. A lady in Berkeley named Sarah Frucht sent me an example of this, what she called a kaleidoscope. What you're looking at is one little rubber ball in the corner of three mirrors. And here's an example of that same shape without the ball there. And you see basically a virtual icosahedron, I'll go back to the previous slide. You have a virtual dodecahedron there with one sphere and three mirrors. And here's a virtual icosahedron with just the mirrors, with a corner lopped off of each mirror. Is that cool or what? And then she sent me this beautiful animation, which I believe is done with computer simulation with, I think she said, 5 mirrors. And it looks like there's a whole bunch of them, doesn't it? Isn't that fun? This was a model for a park sculpture that she was trying to get the city of Berkeley to go for, which I don't know if it got off the ground. Yet another person from Berkeley named Melinda Green, sent me this thing. She calls it Buddha-brat, which is basically a four-dimensional Mandelbrot, which will lead up to the last sequence of images. This is a little animation showing cutting three-dimensional slices through the four-dimensional model of a Mandelbrot set. And then she used the NASA false color here to create these images. Now, you might notice a little portion of this image, which I'm going to zoom in on. I just think it's just exquisitely gorgeous. And here's another image. And this is the one that's like, interesting resemblance to our quintessential heart shape. Okay, and then the last little bit I'm going to show, three-dimensional models of four-dimensional objects that are perfectly consistent with the math and the physics of modern understanding of these spaces. These animations were done by a friend named Russell Toll, who lives in Dutch Flat, California. He has this mathematical Disneyland with Mathematica, and he basically threw these on his website and gave me permission to use them. Each frame of each of these animations is, if you will, a three-dimensional slice through a four-dimensional object. So if you can take our flatland pencil analogy and move that from two and three dimensions to three and four dimensions, so we're trying to wrap our minds around, okay, what's a four-dimensional object look like? Well, each frame, and you can see the continuity as it goes from frame to frame. It's not herky-jerky. There's a smoothness, right? So you can see that there's actually a continuity going from one frame to the next frame as you go through this four-dimensional object and take three-dimensional slices. And then there's a few more animations.